Anyone else who would like to introduce themselves?
Started recording.
Okay. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Great Jayananda Gauranga Prabhuji on a topic on the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the topic of Antya Leela, chapter 3, verse number 193 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call? You are present. Thank you, Prabhuji, very much. Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Om Adnihana Timirandhasya. Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurummin Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamahiham Tadatiswa Padantikam Bandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Thamsajivam Savvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Tamscha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutali Shri Mate Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namacharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradhayane Gauragatha Damadai Nagaragrama Tharini. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutali Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyava Paschatyadi Shatharini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela Chapter 3 Verses 193, 194 and 195 Krudhana Bale Se Sarosha Vachana Bhavukera Siddhanta Shuna Panditera Gana Koti Janme Brahma Jnani E Mukti Naya E Kahi Nama Bhase Se Mukti Haya Haridas Kahena Kena Karaha Shamshaya Shastri Kahi Nama Bhasa Matri Mukti Haya Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Translation, verses 193 through 195. This young man, Gopala Chakravarti, became angry, very angry upon hearing the statements of Haridas Thakur. He immediately criticized him. O assembly of learned scholars, he just said, just hear the conclusion of the emotional devotee. Verse 194. After many millions upon millions of births, when one is complete in absolute knowledge, one may still not attain liberation. Yet, this man says that one may attain it simply by awakening of a glimpse of the holy name. Verse 195, Haridas Thakur said, why are you doubtful? The revealed scriptures say that one can attain liberation simply by a glimpse of offenseless chanting of the holy name. So none of these verses have a purport. So we are going to start with what are the learning objectives. And so the first learning objective here in these three verses is what is holy name? The second learning objective that we're going to discuss this morning is what is Nama Aparad, or the offenses unto the holy name, and are there any good effects of Nama Aparad? Number three, what is Nama Bhasha and what are its effects? And the last learning objective that we're going to have is what is Shuddha Nama and what are its effects? So let's start with the first learning objective. What is holy name? So the holy name of Krishna is transcendental and it should never be considered as a material sound vibration. So the holy name has absolutely nothing to do with the mundane world or the material world. The holy name is not just some combination of letters. It's not like where you have some word in a language and then it's just a combination of some letters, of some material letters or some material syllables. The form of the holy name. So what exactly is the holy name? The holy name has a form, and that is such that although we are uttering the holy name, so we are in this material world, and in this material world we are uttering this holy name. However, the holy name does not belong to this world. The holy name is not of this world at all. It belongs to the spiritual world. The divine name of the Lord is not a product of the material world. And only, so who can chant? So that means that what we are saying here is the holy name is not of anything that is matter. It's not of material syllables. It's not of material letters. It does not belong to the material world. So how is it that we are chanting something that is completely spiritual? That means that the holy name is only chanted purely by a liberated soul. Someone who is liberated out of this material existence can pronounce properly purely the transcendental name of the personality of Godhead. So when Prabhupada, when he gives the analogy, he says that in this material world, the word water and the substance water, or he gives the analogy between water and the substance water. So when someone is thirsty, then if the person just chants water, 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 they are just using the word water is not actually the substance water. So the thirst is not going to be quenched. So if someone keeps saying water, water, the thirst is not going to be quenched. So in contrast, Krishna's name is not like that. Krishna's name is all transcendental and it's spiritual. So that means it's full of mercy. So what all is contained in Krishna's name? It's full of mercy. It's full of compassion. It's full of affection. And it's full of rasa, which means mellows. And it's full of love. And it's the rarest treasure in this world. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha purnaha shuddho nitya mukto bhinnatvan nama namino. So this means that the holy name of Krishna is transcendental. So that means that it's like a wish-pulling gem. So Chintamani is a wish-pulling gem. So it's like that stone, the wish-pulling gemstone. It's the embodiment of all consciousness and sentiments. Chaitanya, the word Chaitanya means consciousness. So it's the embodiment of all consciousness and rasa of all sentiments. So it's embodiment of all consciousness and mellows. And it's complete. And it's a form, vigraha, it's a form. It is complete, purnaha, it's complete, shuddho. Shuddho means it is pure, okay? And it's nitya mukto, it is always liberated, it is always free. The holy name is not constrained by any material constraints. So it's never constrained, it's entirely free. And bhinnatvan, so it is simultaneously, it is same as Krishna, nama namino. So whom it's referring to is Krishna, and the name Krishna are all identical. It's one and the same. So that's this verse here. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha purnaha shuddho nitya mukto bhinnatva nama namino. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of this being, of the name being involved with Maya. So Krishna's name is always liberated and it's always spiritual. So it's not some means to attain anything, because the name itself is a form of Krishna. The name is non-different from Krishna, so it's not like you're chanting to attain. It's not a means for something because it is the end goal in itself. It's never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. And this is appearing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 17, verse 133. So there it is said that it is never conditioned. It's never conditioned by the laws of material nature. It is always, so we are not, whatever is the material condition, it does not matter how it influences our chanting because they are all exclusive. And therefore, Krishna Nama has been accepted by all. So Krishna Nama has been accepted by all to be an incarnation of Lord Krishna on this earth. Although he appears like a word Krishna, still by his inconceivable power, and he's completely spiritual. That means that the name of Krishna is a special incarnation of the Supreme Lord. It's a special incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 17, verse 22, it said, Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. It means that the holy name of Krishna, that is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is Krishna's avatar in this age of Kali. And the entire universe is delivered just by chanting the holy name. So, there was a question that was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then it was responded to by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then this was later cited in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where it says, Vichitra Leela Rasa Sagarasya Prabhor Vichitrat Sphuritat Prasadat Vichitra Sankirtana Madhurisa Natuswa Yatnad Iti Sadhu Siddhyet. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually cited this from Brihad Naradiya Purana. There, this is a verse that was cited, and then later it was cited in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So what it basically says is that only by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, okay, so the Lord's mercy, who is a nectar of ocean, of beautiful pastimes, okay, so Vichitra Leela, he's, the Lord is full of blissful pastimes. It is the charming sweetness of chanting the holy name. The holy name is manifest. So it does not appear by our own effort. How much ever we try to chant, the pure name, Shuddhanama, does not just come by our own effort. You need the causeless mercy of the Lord. And it is full of Vichitra Leela. So it is because of the nectarian pastimes, the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, and it is full of mellows. So only by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, who is the nectar, okay? So such a name can be manifest. So in fact, there is a verse which is actually cited by Madhvacharya in his book called as Mahabharata Tatpari Nirnaya. It's one of the most authoritative commentaries that exist on the Mahabharata. So in that verse, in there, he cites it actually from... he cites it from Garuda Purana, but there is also a similar verse in the Harivamsa Purana, and there are some minor variations to it, and it is cited at least a couple of times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it says, Vede Ramayane cha Purane Bharati Tatha Adho Madhye cha Ante cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. That means Vede. So if you take the Vedas, Ramayane, if you take the Ramayana, Purane, if you take the Puranas, Bharate, if you take the Mahabharata, if you take any of these scriptures, Adho, in the beginning, antyecha, okay, in the end, madhye, in the middle, hari sarvatra giyate, everywhere Krishna is being sung. Everywhere Krishna is being sung. So the names of Krishna, whether you take the Vedas, whether you take the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Puranas, anywhere, Krishna is being sung. So throughout the Vedas, the Ramayana, the Puranas, Mahabharata. So now when we are chanting the names, so there are like 10 offenses which we cite every day. And then these 10 offenses, they're called Nama Aparath. So the Nama Aparath is an utterance of the holy name that is made with some kind of enmity in the heart. Okay, so there are 10 offenses, And this is usually considered the lowest form of chanting. And there are these 12 offenses. And as long as one chants with offenses, it is absolutely impossible to attain the love of God. So offenses against the holy name are actually a little frightening of the different kinds of sins and offenses. The reason for that is all of our kinds of sins and offenses actually go away naturally and automatically when one utters the holy names. But then what could you do if there are offenses committed to the holy name itself, right? So the holy name can eradicate all sarva papa pranashanam. So the Bhagavatam, the last verse of Bhagavatam also says that, right? Namamo dukkha shamana shamanaha tam namamim harim param. So the chanting the holy names can destroy all the sinful reactions. However, if there are offenses committed to the holy names itself, then it doesn't go away easily. So Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, in his Jaiva Dharma, in chapter 24, he gives an example of for every offense, there are like 10 offenses, plus in addition to that, there is one offense with reference to inattentiveness while chanting. So with all these offenses, every offense, there is a way by which you can, there are methods by which you can try to get away from those offenses. It means you can atone for those offenses and then move on. So for example, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you commit an offense, against the holy name, offense to the holy name. And how do you do this offense? Let's say in one case, you offend the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Then what you should do is one should submit to the Vaishnava and be excused by the Vaishnava. So this method is considered as a way to rectify the offense, one of the offenses, which is an offense to the Vaishnava, to the devotees of the Lord who are in the liberated state. So similarly, if one is an offender of the chanting the name itself, so if you are committing an offense against the name itself, then one submits to the holy name itself, and then they can be freed from the offenses. And this is actually detailed in the Srimad Bhagavatam in 7.5.23 through 24. That's where this is detailed. So what actually does aparad mean? So the word aparad is actually coming from, there are two parts to it. One is called as apa, and the apa means against, going against. And then the next one is radha, which means success, prosperity, a flow of affection, radha, okay, flow of affection, okay. So aparad means, literally the name means you are just trying to displace the holy name. You're just trying to displace the holy name. In other words, Krishna, who is non-different from the holy name, becomes displeased. Okay, Krishna is not happy with the offensive behavior because the name itself is his form, okay, called as Nama Rupa. So the negative effect of such offensive chanting is that one loses his taste and attraction for regulative principles of devotion. So in other words, the devotee will no longer derive any happiness from hearing and chanting. So the world of Krishna and his devotees will become dry and will become tasteless. So eventually one keeps on chanting, but then everything becomes dry and then tasteless. However, one is still chanting, right? So is it, one might think, okay, I'm still chanting. Isn't that still better? Isn't that still better than not chanting at all? So in a sense, there are also some good results that one would get from even this kind of namaparad or offensive chanting. Because the holy name, so is there any benefit at all? Okay, we are seeing so many concerns with the holy by namaparad, but is there any benefit at all? Yes, in one sense, the holy name will give whatever result the offender desires while he's chanting the names of Krishna. So if they are desiring something material, the holy name gives the result of those desires. But it will not award the love of Krishna. At the same time, the offender has to suffer the result of his offenses against the holy name. So one might get some kind of material things, whatever they are desiring during the chanting process, but at the same time, they have to suffer the offenses against the holy name. So one who commits offenses to the holy name and one who takes the name with a wicked mentality to get the results. So the offender chants, okay, so from the wickedness, okay, so this chanting with a crooked mentality causes the chanter to accumulate sukriti. Sukriti means like good, pious credits they get from it. Slowly that Sukriti will increase and then it will influence and enable them to get the association of devotees, of saintly people who are chanting the pure name. And the influence of the Vaishnava saints will induce the offender to chant the holy names constantly, which eventually will free them from Namaparadha. Now let's go to the second learning objective of today, which is called as Nama Bhasa. So this is the clearing stage. So because this it clears or purifies the heart of all sins. So this is the intermediate stage. So here, one chants the holy name, okay, and then carefully avoids the offenses. Okay, so they're not committing the 10 offenses. They're chanting the holy name and with determination and enthusiasm. Okay, they have all this, but and there are no offenses. However, it's still not, although not perfect, the stage is very beneficial. The reason why the stage is very beneficial is because it leads to pure chanting and the love of God. So Namabhar, which means that it appears like the holy name, but it's not the holy name. So this is called as the semblance of the holy name. So Namabhar, so it means that it's like semblance. It looks like it, but it is not. It is the result of ignorance, mistake, or some confusion, where the name of God is uttered without devotion or clear understanding. But even such chanting has immense spiritual value because it is connected directly to the spiritual sound. I'll give you an example of this kind of semblance of chanting the holy names. So example here is the Brahmana, the fallen Brahmana Ajamila, who was saved from hell by calling out the name of his favorite son, Narayana. Ajamila was chanting, and this chanting was Namabhar. That means there was a semblance to the pure, real holy name. Okay, so his chanting was to attract his material son, his son, but it was technically, this is called in Sanskrit, this is called a Sanketya. That means it's been assigned to something else. So nonetheless, because the sound was at reflection, so it's still the sound is a reflection of the pure divine name. So even though he was referring to something else, okay, but there was none of those 10 offenses were there. None of the 10 aparad was there, but it's a semblance of the pure name, but it is not. So this is an example of the Lord's name is ordered, is being used, but it's alluded to something else. So just like Ajamila. Sometimes one can refer to the name of Krishna in a joking way. So they might not be really committing an offense. They are calling the word Krishna, but there is no offense there. Okay. But that thing will slowly destroy whatever simple karma remains because of previous practice. Sometimes such a person who is uttering the names in the form of a semblance to the pure name, he unexpectedly commits any of the sinful reactions, but they all go away because of this kind of chanting. So what can such, so we spoke about what is it that Nama Aparad can give, even though the Nama Aparad has, one needs to be very careful about it, but at the same time, Nama Abhas can give many things. Number one, it can give bhukti, okay? That is enjoyment, happiness. It can give mukti. It can give liberation. Okay, we saw it in Ajamila. And then it can give mystic perfections. It can give siddhi. But the only thing it will not give is love of God. It will not give Krishna prema. It gives it gives annihilation of sinful reactions. That means liberation from the effects of this age and material consciousness. Okay, so there is freedom from fear and freedom from worries. And then there is some kind of an experience of inner peace and contentment. So one is one feels content, and then there's protection from the influence of ghosts, from the demons, and from the malefic planets. So and then there is attainment of the four goals of material life. So you have dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And then it gives boundless spiritual bliss except for Krishna prema. And it can even give residence in the Vaikuntha for an offenseless chanter. Just in the case of Ajamila, it did give him residence in the Vaikuntha. And there are, so one might just even chant the names of Krishna in such kind of, in such a method, but then it has a lot of benefits. Now let's go to Shuddhanama or pure name. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur gives a lot of details about all this in the book called as Jaiva Dharma. So where he defines Shuddhanama. So Shuddhanama here refers to Harinama or the names of Krishna. And that's free from the 10 kinds of offenses. Okay, that's given. Okay, it's free from the 10 kinds of offenses. Although this does not sound difficult, one may be chanting continually with their hairs on his body, standing on end. So that means one might be very, so in this kind, so this does not, so one might think, okay, so one might be chanting so ecstatically, so the hairs of the body are standing on one end, maybe streams of tears are yevam pratasvapriya namakirtyo jatanurago dridachitta uchehi hasatito roditi rauti gayati unmadavan trityati lokabahya. So the Bhagavatam describes all these qualities. So even though one might have these kind of symptoms, then there might be streams of tears flowing from his eyes as one is chanting, but it may still be that because of offenses, he's not uttering the pure name. It means that the pure name means chanting the holy name with a favorable attitude. Krishna Anushilanam. Okay, so anything that is not favorable to Krishna consciousness needs to be given up. So Anukulya Krishna Anushilanam. So we need to take up whatever is dovetail, whatever we need with favorable to Krishna consciousness. Pratikulya, some whatever is not favorable, Nivarjanam, we need to give that up. So that means the pure name has to be chanted with a favorable attitude. And number two, it has to be free from all material desires. Number three, it has to not have the covering of soft jnana, that means mishra. So any kind of mixture with jnana, pursuit of jnana has to go. And then karma, mishra karma. So karma, jnana, mishra, bhakti needs to go. Karma, mishra, bhakti needs to go. Siddhi, yoga, mishra, bhakti. So that kind of siddhis and yoga, all the dhyana yoga, all the practice mixed with bhakti needs to go. To desire the supreme bliss, okay, so, and then to desire that, okay, so we have a benefit out of that, and that is the supreme bliss that we get while chanting, that needs to go. So all this needs to go, because none of this is anya abhilash. Abhilash is wishes, the desires that we have. Anya means it's extraneous, okay, all these things are extraneous to Krishna prema, and all these things need to go. So what all needs to go? Jnana needs to go, karma needs to go, siddhi needs to go. All this needs to, doesn't mean that even though bhakti might as a side contains all these things, but it doesn't mean that this, all these are subtle. There will be subtle desires for knowledge. There will be subtle desire for mixture of karma with the holy name, mixture of karma with the siddhi, and all this needs to go. And even the desire for the supreme, even the desire that we, the individual soul, will get the supreme bliss of chanting needs to go, because all these are extraneous to pure, extraneous desire. So all these needs to go. So the pure name will never manifest in the presence of extraneous desires, any desire that's extraneous. So one will not receive the pure name as long as one desires the fruits of karma, nihana, yoga, and so on. So as long as there is any desire for any of these things, the fruits will not, the pure name is not going to be manifest. So the pure name arises from accepting the holy name with only favorable inclinations, things that are favorable to Krishna consciousness, and rejecting all the unfavorable emotions from the heart. So with careful deliberation, one can realize that the pure name is certainly the name which is free from offenses. So it's very clear. It's free from offenses. That's very clear for Shuddhanama. So all the 10 offenses are gone. Inattentive chanting is gone. And then you also don't have semblance that it looks like holy name, but it's not. So one is chanting the holy name, but then it looks like it, but it's not. Okay. Even though it's the semblance of the holy name is still not an offense, but still it's not the pure holy name. Okay. So all there is free from the 10 plus one offenses. And then it's free from semblance. And then all the extraneous desires are gone. Then you have the soft covering of jnana is gone. The soft covering of karma is gone. The soft covering of siddhi is gone. The covering of the desire to get the supreme bliss is gone. And then the pure name is going to manifest. So chanting of the pure name is not some kind of a mechanical act. So one might think that, okay, when one is good in the language, maybe it might look like it's some kind of a Sanskrit language. And then when one is good at the Sanskrit language, maybe they're going to be able to pronounce the name Krishna correctly. But that's not the case, because it's not a mechanical act of some kind of a skillful speaker with the correct intonation and then with the correct syllable pronunciation, because it does not even belong to the material world. So there can be, so one might think that it belongs to some kind of a skillful speaker, and something maybe natives of the language of Sanskrit might be able to pronounce it correctly, but it is far from that. It is not bound by any kind of material constraints. So the ability to chant the pure name is an act of the divine grace. The Lord bestows it. And of course, with the bestows upon the devotees and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Yevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the Lord bestows this kind of... This mercy upon the devotees and who have saturated their minds and hearts with devotion. So their minds and hearts are saturated with devotion. At that time, Krishna gives this mercy. And when one is free from all misgivings on offenses, there is no misgivings on any offenses, then the pure name, which is Krishna himself, descends. Okay. The word avatar means, ava means to descend. Tar means border. So this border between the Vaikuntha from the spiritual world and the material world, the name, the Krishna, will descend. Okay. So Krishna descends in the form of his name into one's heart. And where does he descend from? He descends from the Braja Gokul, from the Braja Gokul, which is Goloka Vrindavan itself. And from there he descends. And at this stage, there is no other desire. There is no other desire in the heart, okay, except for acting for the pleasure of Krishna. So there is no other desire. So this is an extremely wonderful, wonderful state where Krishna himself descends from that place. Okay. So Krishna is both immanent and he is transcendent. So he's immanent as super soul in the form of super soul. He's immanent as Kshirodakasai Vishnu, as a Vishnu who lies in the milk ocean. He's present as Paramatma, as super soul everywhere. So he's immanent and at the same time he's transcendent. That transcendent form of Krishna called from the Braja Gokul, from there he descends into the heart of the chanter who's chanting this name purely. And then and this pure chanting is done purely for one purpose, and that is for the pleasure of Krishna. And what is it that is going to qualify us for chanting that with the pleasure of Krishna? The one thing that will qualify us here is the mercy of Krishna. So that means Krishna himself has to be merciful and he needs to bestow that mercy upon the chanter, and that alone. So we are not qualified in any way. We are not qualified in any way to be able to chant the names of Krishna in such a pure way. But Krishna himself, out of his causeless mercy, will bestow that upon that jiva soul. So the pure name of Krishna is the perfection stage of chanting. It's a perfection stage of chanting. It's the means and the end. The means and the end where a devotee sees Krishna personally dancing on the tongue, even though we know that the material body is incapable of chanting Krishna, because the material body is just, even though the material tongue is vibrating the names Krishna, but the name Krishna is all spiritual. It comes from the spiritual world. It belongs to the spiritual world, and the pure name comes directly from Rajagokul. So that means that the material tongue is not, has no ability to chant this holy name of Krishna. Therefore, by dancing, so Krishna from Rajagokul comes and dances on the tongue. By such pure chanting, one realizes his spiritual form. One realizes one's spiritual form and attains the goal, which is love of Godhead, which is Krishna Prema. Okay, and that's, so the love, the means and the goal, they're all the same. So Krishna Nama is a form of the Lord, and the goal here, so there are three kinds of things. So we have Sambandha, Prayojana, Avideya. Sambandha is a relationship that we have with Krishna. Prayojana is the ultimate goal. Okay, and the deity for that is Radha Gopinath. The ultimate goal that we have is Krishna Prema. So the Vedanta Sutra or the Brahma Sutra itself is divided into four chapters. Like the first chapter is like basically introduction. And then the second chapter and the third and the fourth deal progressively with these topics of Sambandha, Abhidheya, Prayojana. So the last and the Prayojana, the sum and substance, the goal of all the Vedic scriptures, the goal of anything that we do is to get this thing called love of Krishna. And so what is the effect? So let's say that one is able to chant the name purely, okay? On the day, the jiva soul, the individual soul, accepts the pure name. So on that day, let's say that that individual soul utters from the spiritual tongue, the spiritual form of our spiritual form has a spiritual tongue. The spiritual tongue utters the first name Krishna. For the first time, they have uttered the spiritual the name purely. What is the effect? You just have to state the name once. That's it. If you state the name Krishna once purely, it will destroy the sum total of all our prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. So all the karma that has matured, okay, and aprarabdha, those that are even not even manifest, everything will be destroyed. And that is by chanting the name of Krishna once purely. So we are chanting the names of Krishna at least 16 rounds we're doing every day. So if it is not destroyed all our prarabdha and aprarabdha karma, then it means that the person has not chanted the name of Krishna purely even once. So when once they chant, that is the effect of chanting the name Krishna purely once. The second time that one utters the name Krishna, again purely, Krishna Prema will arise. That's the second time the spiritual tongue is chanting the name Krishna. At that time, Krishna Prema will arise. So this is what is said in these three verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here we have a person who is in the mundane platform, and who does not realize about what exactly, because it might just look very fantastic to just imagine that how is it that a holy name can just do so much. Okay, it's a name, Krishna. Okay, and then how is it that this holy name can give this kind of benefit? How can it, after all, the person here is only talking about mukti, and what we are talking about here, mukti, even namabash, even semblance to the holy name can even offer mukti. So that is why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he even tries to change a word in the Bhagavatam by saying bhakti pade instead of mukti pade. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that, okay, please don't change the words, okay, the words of Bhagavatam, because the words of Bhagavatam are barely the words that are, it's directly the personality of Godhead. So there is no need to change. So much mukti is not something which is very desired by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, even though it is one, the last of the Purusharthas. And so for us, Krishna Prema, because even semblance to the name can offer mukti. And Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasochati Nakhangshati. So that means that if one is in the liberated platform, Nasochati Nakhangshati, how do you know that you're in a liberated platform? So you don't have anxieties, you don't have miseries. So at that stage, Krishna, this process of Krishna consciousness starts. So that means like those who are in the platform of those who are like who are only interested in realizing that one is the Brahman, one is individual, that one is a spirit soul and one is not the body. That's just the beginning. But then there is a lot more to attain after that. There's a lot more to attain after that because the spiritual world is full of variety and full of variegatedness. And it's and that is something which the pure name is good. The pure name offers, and this is the reason why. And we have here in this verse, where the in these three verses that we described today, from a mundane platform, all this can look fantastic, but then with practice, in the association of devotees, in the association of Vaishnavas, and by the mercy of the Lord, one can move from the stage of Nama Parad. And one shouldn't be too much concerned. Okay, one should rectify the Nama Parad, but then by chanting repeatedly again and again and again, then one can get over the 10 offenses, 10 plus 1 offenses. And then one can go towards Nama Bhash and the intermediate stage, and then hope to chant the names in a pure way, or Shuddha Nama. So I have to actually leave at about 10:45. And so it's going to be 10:40 now. And I'm just going to stop here. And I think we can have about 5 minutes for a discussion. And then if somebody wants to, and if you want to discuss yourself, please feel free to. Thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very, very wonderful, information-packed class, as always, and a lot to learn from today's class. I know you have just 5 minutes left, so will you be able to address one question?
Sure, Mataji.
Maybe. Okay. So I really like the entire presentation. As always, it's packed with a lot of things to take home and remember through the day. One point that you really mentioned, which made so much sense, is about Nama Parad, is also will help you to proceed in one sense, that you know ultimately you do advance to the stage of Nama Bhas, and then there is some progress as you continue chanting. So that was very hope giving. Thank you so much for that. One thing that I wanted to ask is about the wicked feeling in the heart and chanting. So we do see that there are so many demons who chant with a wicked feeling, like Sishupal and others, who eventually get liberated. So this wicked feeling, when we say wicked feeling, is it directly wicked feeling to the holy name or to the Lord or to the devotees? What do we mean by the feeling wicked inside and still being benefited? Because we do see people benefited.
So that's a nice question, Mataji. So this one does not just pertain to beings like, you know, Sishupal, and it belongs to all of us. I think, because what it really refers to is when you look at the 10 offenses, what is the real meaning behind all those 10 offenses? Because there is some kind of enmity. There is some kind of envy. There is some kind of mentality in us, which is preventing us from truly realizing what the spiritual form of the holy name. So that's the underlying current behind the thing. So let's say that somebody is chanting. I'll give a simple and one small catch with that Sishupal story is, even though he's liberated, you know, that's like there are two special things there. One is that instances specifically do with the pastime of the Lord. So pastimes of the Lord sometimes are a little difficult to just directly take for us because it's part of the activities of the Lord. And second thing is like when they're all coming in terms of, they're also in a sense great devotees of the Lord, right? I mean, because you have Jaya and Vijaya, they are coming like this, and then so they're all meant for a certain purpose here to demonstrate few things and so many things. So there are a lot of exceptions to those kind of scenarios, but at the same time, let's take about like a mundane personality, for instance, like in among us, let's say that somebody is chanting, and let's say that somebody has been very mean to us in one of our somebody in our day-to-day dealings has been very mean to us, and then even those kind of extraneous thoughts, and then thoughts about all those things are like various anarthas. I think that's the correct word. The wickedness and all these things is actually coming from the Sanskrit word anarthas. So we have all these misgivings within the heart, and that means that the heart has to be cleansed. So chayetu darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davati nirvarpanam. So that means that the heart has to be cleansed. And this process, param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, this process of chanting the holy name will cleanse the heart of all the dust that has accumulated over millions and millions of births that we have taken. So when we speak about all this wickedness, and it refers to the anarthas, the mentality that is in us, which is not allowing us to chant the pure name in a way which is by which we can experience Krishna Prema or the Rasa, all that is contained in the name, and it is preventing us from chanting that way. And therefore, everything, the name itself will help. So we need to for every aparad, for every offense, there is a method to get out of it. So we need to get out of it. At the same time, you know, we also see that not to keep on doing offenses on the strength of the holy name, because that also is an offense. So does that partly answer your question, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, very much, very clear. Yes, right. And you're out of time. It's already 10:44.
I can take maybe one more question.
I have one question, but then I want to give chance to others if they want to go ahead. Otherwise, I'll ask. Anyone wants to ask any question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes,
Prabhuji, thank you so much. Very, very nice class. Prabhuji, you mentioned about chanting the holy name with favorable attitude, and how it has to be free from all the material desires and from the soft covering of jnana, karma, siddhi. And you also said that it has to be free from desire to get supreme bliss. Mm. So can you please elaborate on that, Prabhuji? Like what all activities it includes?
So the thing is, the names of Krishna, they are... because that is the end goal and the means. Okay, what is it? It is Krishna Prema. It is bound to give bliss. Maybe it is not Krishna Prema, but the process itself is full of bliss. So that means that, let's say that when we do so many mundane things, we can see, is there one material activity that even can give us any kind of bliss? That's what, I mean, an intelligent person is able to think about that. Right, Krishna Varnam, Tusha Krishnam, Sango Pangasi. So Yajanti Sumedashaha, a wise person will be able to see whether this material world, all the things, material desires, is this capable of giving any bliss at all? So, but then the chanting of the names, even when there is no offenses, you can start, there is an end goal there, which is, if there is an end goal, which is supreme bliss, because Sat, Chit, Ananda, because the name of Krishna is also all spiritual. So Ananda is contained in it. So if there is, if the goal is for bliss, then it will still stop at the level of Namabhas. So it's not going to the Krishna. It's not going to go to Krishna, Shuddha Nama or pure name. Because pure name, there is no extraneous desires. Even the desire for the individual soul to experience the bliss of liberated existence. So because liberated existence itself is a blissful, because we're going to have a spiritual form in Vaikuntha. So even that is a blissful experience. Even that blissful experience is not something that is desired. So we don't want to get we are not chanting because we just want to get out of this material entanglement, out of this material whatever is the opposite of bliss, this material, the material nature is offering. It's not like we just want to get out of that, and that's why we are chanting. And liberation is going to give us that ananda, that is it's going to give that spiritual bliss. So any kind of desire that is so-called selfish, okay, so-called selfish, even though it is better than all the other material things, it is still that desiring that supreme bliss also has some kind of it's some kind of a self-centeredness, because it is not directed towards the pleasure of Krishna. So what is needed is Krishna happy or not? That is important, not whether we are getting that supreme bliss by chanting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Very nice.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That answered my question too. Thank you so much. Kamodiki Mataji, you want to end the call?
Unmute. Yes. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in the future. If nobody has any question, we can end the call here. Vansha Kalpata Rukyasha. Hare Krishna, somebody has question?
No, Mataji. I'm just saying Vansha Kalpata.
Okay, Vansha Kalpata
Rukyasha. Kalpata Rukyasha Kripa Sandhubhye Vacha.
Thank you,
Vrinda.
Thank you. Chaitanya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace, Dhyananda Prabhu ki jai. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class.
Prabhuji went. Okay, Prabhuji went.